Be advised, you are now entering a woke-free zone, a place where facts always trump fiction and truth always prevails. Here we destroy the liberals, the left, and the Democrats at home, online, and in political office. Whining, screaming, lashing out, or tantrums will not be tolerated. Welcome to the Last Gay Conservative Podcast. Here's your host, the beacon of truth, your binary brother, the holiest homo, the leader of the gay world. He may not be straight, but he's straight to the point. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Chad Law.
Hello, everybody, and let's go, Brandon. Welcome to another episode of The Last Gay Conservative. I'm your host, Chad Law, the true leader of the gay world. I'm also the holiest homo, the all-knowing, streaming my truth, facts, and findings across the airwaves on our red, white, and blue rainbow. Very excited about today's episode, like all other episodes, but we're going to be focusing on two of my favorite topics today. Illegal federal spending and fiscal transparency. I know, sounds a bit geeky, sounds a bit crazy, but once we get into it, you'll see. I do have a couple of updates for you guys and some shout outs before we get into the episode. But just to preface the episode, I just want to keep in mind that it wasn't until recently that we could open the federal books and see where our tax dollars are going. Barack Obama, actually, and Senator Tom Coburn co-sponsored the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act back in, I want to say 2006. I can't remember. So, credit goes where credit's due. Obama did do a good job on this piece of legislation as a senator, I have to say. Funny enough, or ironically, the bill that he created has led to more exposure of fraud and misuse of funds amongst his DNC buddies more than anyone else. So maybe he torched his own village a little bit there, but it's been great for us. However, before we jump into today's episode, I want to tell you a funny story that I heard. There was a burglar that broke into a house one night, and as he's about to steal the stereo, all of a sudden, he hears, "Jesus is watching you." The burglar stops in his tracks, looks around, scared, and notices a bird in the cage in the corner. He saw the parrot and asked him, "Hey, did you just say that to me?" The parrot says, "Yes, I was trying to warn you." Of course, the burglar shrugs it off and says, "Well, warn me of what? What's your name, little bird?" The parrot says, "I'm Moses." The burglar goes on to stealing. And while he's doing it, he says, "What kind of people name their bird Moses?" The parrot responds, "The same kind of people who name their 150-pound Rottweiler Jesus." I just love jokes like that. I heard that one on one of my favorite podcasts, the Joel Osteen podcast. I love Joel. Try to listen to him as much as I can. I know the opinion amongst Christians on Joel is all over the place. However, I do believe that he has done an amazing job of taking the word, putting it into simple, applicable practices that we can all use in our everyday life without getting too confused about the difficulty. Because let's face it, the word can be very confusing sometimes. And I think Joel is and will ever be the best translator of the word of God. So whatever you think, like him, love him, hate him, I like him regardless. I think he's a great Christian, and his little blurbs on the podcast every day, it's 15, 20 minutes, are incredible. And his stories are pretty funny. And the only reason why I used one of his stories is because, surprisingly, my life has stayed pretty mellow the last few days. I've had so much going on this summer between personal, professional, and everything. You guys have heard it. So I decided to send Ron, my dog, Ron Reagan, the French bulldog, with Alyssa for a few weeks. And God, has it been rough. Don't get me wrong. He's having the time of his life. First, him and Alyssa's dog are super close. And second, they have a place in Central Oregon with acres of exploration territory and critters and all sorts of fun stuff and smells that he doesn't get with me in the city. However, I can't tell you folks how ready I am to get him back. You know, of course, everyone wants to keep him up there because he is the coolest dog. And I know, everyone says their dog is the coolest dog. But until you meet Ron, you can't understand how he is the coolest dog, or more like human. He's not a typical snorty, sickly, stinky Frenchie, just a powerhouse of muscle and strength. And He's just physically perfect and smarter than any dog I've ever met. So I'm counting the days for Ron to get home. And in the meantime, I'm accepting applications for cuddle snuggle buddies while Ron is gone. Four-legged or two, doesn't matter. Send me your info. Kidding. I do need to make one major shout out today. I finally got my suppressor, also known as a silencer, and it's so awesome. It took almost 18 months for the ATF to approve me and issue my stamp. It was an excruciating process, which really the excruciating part for me was just waiting. I have no patience. But the only reason I got approved and was able to get my silencer is because of the company that I worked with, Silencer Central. They did everything for me, and it was all covered in the cost of the silencer. I got the Banish 45, and it's so much better than I could have ever imagined. Actually, I was at the range yesterday, and not only was I blown away, but everyone around me was pretty stunned as well. The noise reduction and the buttery smooth shots were way more amazing than I could have ever guessed. And I turned around at one point, and there was like 9 people behind me at the range, all wanting to hear, feel, listen to the Banish 45, the silencer I received from Silencer Central. If you are interested in getting a silencer, I would do so now before all of Biden's gun law BS comes into place, if it does. And if you want it done right, you should use Silencer Central. I paid for mine 100%. This isn't a promotional post. I'm just a raving fan, but they truly are top notch, and I wholeheartedly recommend them. A couple things in the news this week I thought I would point out. Did any of you catch Senator Hawley and that psycho professor from Berkeley? Well, if you didn't watch it, you should, because I'm going to play you the audio, but the visual exchange is amazing and the audio doesn't do it justice. Let's have a listen.
I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
That this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important.
Because of my line of questioning?
Because
so we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying
dangerous.
That trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant.
So
you are denying that trans people exist?
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
Where they're told that they're opening
up people to violence?
Of course, in true mob fashion, if you ask anything, doubt, question, raise any suspicion, you are inciting and causing violence against minorities, in this case, trans people. I don't understand why someone, one of these bleeding hearts on the left, hasn't kiboshed this nonsense. I mean, repeatedly telling everyone they're causing violence. I don't know. I'm not a woke liberal, but to me, from the outside looking in, doesn't that take away from actual trans violence and the severity of the crime and the criminal? I mean, if we're all responsible for the violence, doesn't that remove responsibility from the criminal that's actually committing violence? I don't know. I actually think that's a good argument. You have all of these facts about us inciting the violence. The criminal can say, I was incited. Who knows? With these woke DAs these days, anything flies. But they did this with racists, and now they're doing it with violence, which to me is even more serious. You know, there's just this one-up mentality. I know liberals so well. It's this one-up mentality they have, and they all try and out-woke or out-politicize each other. And they're getting to the point where they have nothing left. I mean, what other ludicrous accusations can you make? We're at inciting violence. And what I don't understand is how do these people like this professor sit here and say the right, us, conservatives, are the destruction of democracy? These people truly believe, along with thousands of others, like the entire staff at the Washington Post, because you read it every day in the paper, they believe that we're the ones ruining democracy. I mean, do these people even know what democracy is? Telling people they cannot ask a question on a topic without being an inciter of violence, which, by the way, is just a veiled threat to silence people. That's the opposite of democracy. Yet they're the ones fighting for our freedom. Folks, it's only their version of freedom. And it's the version where we're all genderless, spineless, and vegan. My idea of hell. But the BizPak Review had an incredible piece on this story yesterday, and I wanted to share some of the key points. One of the people featured on the article was Bridget Gabriel. She's an author that focuses on the law profession. She wrote something very insightful. Students at our law schools are being taught that opposing arguments are not permitted when they contradict leftist talking points. How can you be an attorney without presenting opposing arguments? By accommodating disturbed professors like Bridges, she was the professor that went up against Senator Hawley. By accommodating disturbed professors like Bridges, Berkeley and other law schools are training a generation of legal imbeciles. Imagine paying $44,000 plus room and board to be taught this nonsensical fake science. She goes on to say, this cannot bode well for the legal profession. Isn't that funny? That law school student that went off at me at that party a few months ago or a month ago, basically, she's just reiterating what I said, which I love, but it's so true. These kids go into these law schools semi-normal, and they come out like this professor who's absolutely insane. The article goes on to say, when Senator Hawley says that men can't get pregnant, he's not advocating violence against anyone. He is exposing the absurdity of the trans agenda. The real question inherent in Bridges' statements is, do we have the right to deny the existence of trans people? Is biological sex a fact of nature, or is it a social construct? Basically something that people got together and made up. In other words, a social construct can also be known as a product of society. Professor Bridges believes in the latter. She believes that any individual is free to identify their own gender. If a woman decides she is a man, that proves that men are capable of bearing children. Well, folks, there you have it. If you don't think a man can give birth, you're a murderer. A lot of Ted Bundys out around here, I guess. And isn't that just the typical response to everything with liberals? They want us to acknowledge and accept trans people exactly how they want to be, a man, a woman, or neither. Then they say, and you have to accept them in sports against their non-biological counterpart, I guess is the right word. Then they say, oh, by the way, you have to accept them in bathrooms regardless of what genitals they have. So a man can go into a woman's restroom and whip out his dong. And then it's now, if a woman changes to a man but keeps her uterus and everything required to have a baby, you must accept it. It just keeps getting crazier. I don't get it. Why is there one person in the world that accepts this nonsense? Not only is it dangerous, but it's mental illness. If you want to be a man but keep your uterus to have a baby, you are effed up. That's all I have to say. And the craziness just, again, one up in each other. This is woke people today, folks. It is absolutely frightening. If you want to swap your genitals, do it. I've said it 100 times. If you truly suffer from gender dysphoria, exercise your freedom and be the gender you want to be. No ifs, ands, buts about it. That's what I believe. But you don't get to be both. By changing genders, you are asking everyone to treat you as that sex, if you will. You are changing your gender, not your sex. However, you're asking us all to act as if you did change your sex, which is okay. If you want to be a man, be a man. If you want to be a woman, be a woman. If you want to be nothing, be nothing. However, men and nothings can't have children. Only female-sexed people can have a child. If you're transitioning to be a man from a woman because you feel trapped in the wrong gender and you swap, you don't get to pick and choose which parts of each gender you want to keep. Where did this notion come from that our bodies can be cut up and glued back together like construction paper in a kindergarten classroom. It's bizarre. The bottom line is this. If you transition from woman to man, but still have kids, you're a woman. I don't know about you folks, but I will treat you like a woman and address you as such. And I also think CPS should have flags or be on the lookouts for these men who were trying to give birth. You got to be so messed up in the head to want to be a pregnant man. I'm sorry, it's against everything God created. It's against every piece of biology. I even think Charles Darwin would be rolling in his grave to see this. This isn't evolution. We're going backwards. Anyways, I could spend all day on that, as you know. But it's a perfect segue in today's topic, which is reviewing the exposed fraud, misuse of funds, and some bizarre uses of your tax dollars last year in 2021. Just like this Holly exchange with this Professor Bridges, it's a perfect example on wasted resources on a topic that's the furthest place from outer space. And additionally, these examples will make your head spin. In June of this year, the American Transparency Organization, they own and operate OpenTheBooks.com and Real Clear Policy, not Real Clear Politics, Real Clear Policy. Every year they release a study called Where's the Pork? Or the Where's the Pork Report. It's a 50-page document that outlines some of the most outrageous federal fiscal missteps of our time. I mean, I thought last year's was bad for 2020. This 2021 version makes 2020 look like a county fair. The group American Transparency is just fascinating to me. They're a nonprofit. From what I can see, it's very bipartisan. And of course, the left or the mainstream media doesn't promote or acknowledge any of the work because it shows all of them in a very bad light. It also shows a lot of the Republicans in a very bad light as well. But here's how they define themselves. American Transparency / OpenTheBooks.com is a public charity. We do not accept government money. Our oversight reports present hard data so citizens, media, think tanks, politicians, and watchdogs can, quote unquote, follow the money. Hard facts are nonpartisan and enhance the public discourse. So to start their report, they do a cool thing. They call it top-line macroeconomic statistics. And they just go through 9 or 10 stats of where the country stands right now. So let's go through these top macroeconomic statistics. 1, federal spending is out of control. While federal tax revenue is more than $4 trillion, federal spending is more than $6 trillion, leaving a $2 trillion deficit. The national debt is more than $30 trillion as of April 2022. That's $91,000 of debt per citizen and $250,000 per debt per taxpayer. The U.S. federal debt to GDP ratio, which I talk about all the time, has grown over the years. In the year 2000, it was 58%. April of 2022, it's 126% debt to GDP, 126%. The largest areas of spending are on Medicare and Medicaid. We spend about $1.3 trillion. Social Security, $1 trillion. Defense and war, $725 billion. And sadly, in the top five, interest on debt, $431 billion in 2021. Medicare and Social Security are severely underfunded, $34 trillion and $22 trillion. $34 trillion for Social Security and $22 trillion for Medicare are long-term unfunded liabilities. The total U.S. unfunded liabilities are $123 trillion. And that works out to $500,000 of liability per citizen. We as Americans aren't doing much better ourselves. We have $1.7 trillion in student loan debt. That's about $40,000 per student. And $1 trillion in credit card debt, which is about $6,500 of debt per credit card holder. The government out of control spending hasn't solved any social problems. So when Biden and these people stand up and say, we have to spend to give these people healthcare, we have to spend to give these people internet, the spending is not directly correlated to any fixes within some of our social, quote unquote, injustices or problems. So there's in America, we have 40 million people living in poverty, 42 million receiving food stamps, 27 million without health insurance, with almost 500,000 bankruptcies and 63,000 foreclosures in 2021. And the last thing they say, which we need to drive home, is wasteful spending will continue as long as lawmakers have no direct repercussions for voting on pork or misspending taxpayer money. It's true. There's no accountability in Washington. They can literally go out and say, I think every single government building in America needs a hot tub. And they go install, they spend $1 billion on hot tubs. Meanwhile, as you heard, 40 million people living in poverty. Not that sending money to people in poverty has helped anything or spending on it, but in this hypothetical comparison, they go out and they buy hot tubs for every building. They can do whatever they want. Of course, as ludicrous as that sounds, that is what these people do. And wait until you hear some of the places that your taxpayers are going. I mean, what a shame. It's disgusting. And then you would think in the wake of this document, it's a big document and very well nationally known, filled with irrefutable facts, Congress would see this out in the press in front of millions of people and reel it back a bit and examine some of these grave misuses of taxpayer dollars. Oh no. On Thursday of last week, the House just passed another reckless spending bill, indicating to us and other economists that inflation is going nowhere but up. Our involvement in Afghanistan 2.0, which is what I call the Ukraine conflict, is continuing more than ever. $9 billion of your money thus far for Ukraine still isn't enough. This latest defense spending bill adds an additional billion to the mix for Ukraine. How the hell can we be approaching $10 million in aid with nothing changing on the ground? And what it looks like, Russia making small strides further into Ukrainian sovereign land. We're not helping. We're making it worse, in my opinion. And as we know, this is all just a result of Biden's years of doing nothing but doling out promises for cash. And now we're all stuck here and not one lawmaker is calling it out. And we continue to just print money. Folks, please keep in mind and just remember, inflation is directly tied to the amount of dollars in circulation. The more money in circulation, the more the dollar or money loses its value. Meanwhile, prices are going up. When Washington continues to spend, especially on things that are not a dire need, it adds to inflation because it requires us to print more cash into circulation. As a matter of fact, with this next spending bill, they're driving us straight into stagflation. We are very, very close. It's a sickening addiction these people have. Spend. Meanwhile, none of them contribute to the pot. Remember, they're on our dime. So hang tight. You just heard the state of the economy from American Transparency. And at the same time, not even a month after the report was released, the House just approved $839 billion defense bill, which will pass in the Senate. We know that. And don't get me wrong. I mean, if I believe we need to spend money, defense is where it should be. However, using the title Defense Act or National Defense here is a lot of hooey. This is the Democrat version of defense. This is $800 billion going to the Pentagon for Lloyd Austin to include LGBTQ plus minus XYZ people and trans in the military. $30 billion go to the Department of Energy. How funny. And $40 million will be doled out to all these federal agencies we just love, like the EPA and the CDC. Of course, it's expected to pass the Senate, like I said. You watch. McConnell and Gramnesty will vote yay faster than a fat kid who hears the ice cream truck. These people are traitors to our cause and need to be removed immediately. Just hearing McConnell defend his choices and act as he's nonpartisan and trying to work across the aisle. In reality, all he's doing is making backdoor deals where he comes before the party and his constituents. You know, there's such a vast contrast between him and his fellow Senator Rand Paul. I think, based on what I'm reading, the people of Kentucky see what a real conservative brings to the table versus a spineless lifer politician whose only worry is himself, like Mitch McConnell. Don't even get me started on McConnell. I've given him so many chances. Wake up, RNC, primary his ass. Get him out of the Senate. I'm over him and everybody else's as well. He's a lying sack of crap that needs to go. Anyways, before I get any angrier about the spending bill, Ukraine assistance, and the rhino-filled Senate we have, let's look at these people who supposedly represent us and why they should have no control over our national checkbook without voter approval. So where is the pork? Let me ask you guys a question here. And this is a very serious question. Did you know your anus has between 35 and 37 unique creases, making it as unique as a fingerprint? Well, I didn't either. But in this report, the people at Stanford University and Dr. Fauci felt it was worth $6.9 million in federal funds to research your anal print. Dr. Fauci gave Stanford University $6.9 million last year to create a toilet with three cameras to identify your anal print. Now, the goal was not only to use your anal print for identification, but once identified, the toilet would supposedly scan your urine and fecal matter for ailments or diseases. The problem? Well, first of all, who wants their anus scanned? Not me. Out of all people, you would think I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I do. I don't want my anus scanned. Second, the technology could scan the anus, but never worked as far as the testing of health concerns. This is Theranos all over again. However, I did read that it's a new development in criminal justice. So next time you decide to murder your spouse or you walk into a crime scene, don't spread your cheeks and sit your sweaty ass down on a hard surface. Your anal print will put you in jail. Now that we've dealt with our anuses, let's talk about world travel. Have you ever been to Ethiopia? I haven't. Well, apparently it's very important to our national security and health because the CDC, an agency designed to protect Americans against disease, sent $2.1 million to a family planning organization in Ethiopia. Now, we all know what family planning means. The Family Guidance Association of Ethiopia, which is an organization tied strongly to Planned Parenthood, requested the funds to teach sex education to female commercial sex workers. This included HIV testing, talk therapy, and other STI screenings. Don't forget the condoms and unlimited family planning services. In other words, abortion. Keep in mind, prostitution is illegal in Ethiopia. Now, do I think that's all bad? No. It's probably a valiant effort to help curb the spread of disease in an impoverished country. However, many people here in the U.S. can't get STI screenings for free. It's over $100, or it's not covered by insurance. Despite their shady family planning efforts and ties with Planned Parenthood, we're sending $2.1 million to a country to receive benefits Americans haven't seen. It's like, you do a great job investing your money, but when it's time for your payout, it goes to someone else. That is the theme and what's wrong with Washington today. Bleeding hearts for everyone except us, and we're the ones who pay their salary and fund this bullcrap. I mean, you all remember COVID-19. It was a miserable 3 years. And right when you thought it was all over, you're going to love this find. In April, the Biden administration extended the COVID state of emergency yet again, making it the 9th extension. Now, Biden campaigned for president, as you know, on shutting down the virus, killing the virus, but not the country. However, he told all 50 governors at the beginning of 2021 that his intention was to extend the 90-day state of emergency through the entirety of 2021, not reassessing every 90 days, but just pushing it through the year. Now, OpenTheBooks.com went into the Congressional Budget Office and investigated how much that actually costs us. Every time the state of emergency is extended for 90 days, it costs us $4.5 billion in additional Medicaid spending. The annual cost is $18 billion in just increased Medicaid spending. And we have no plan to move forward without bleeding this $18 billion every year. Now, enacting a state of emergency gives the president extra powers to fund and operate as he needs to within the parameters of the emergency. That's how we're able to increase the Medicaid spending by $18 billion. Basically, he's extending the state of emergency so he can continue to fund and create his welfare state that he's been creating for the last 2 years. Right on top of that, just as fraudulent, are earmarks. And apparently we call it community funding now. Keep in mind, earmarking was actually banned for a little more than a decade, and now they're back with a vengeance. Within the $1.5 trillion budget, of course, that was passed with flying colors by the House and the Senate, our awesome representatives, we allowed them to throw in 5,000 earmarks into the budget. Listen to this. When Congress passed its $1.5 trillion omnibus spending bill, the House approved in less than 24 hours, and they were able to cram 5,000 earmarks totaling $9 billion into the final version of the bill. This included 3,600 earmarks totaling $5 billion from Democrats, 1,000 earmarks totaling $3.5 billion from Republicans, and 266 earmarks totaling $600 million on bipartisan efforts. What a bunch of shit. Some of the largest earmarks came from Republican Senator Richard Shelby, Slimeball, the ranking member of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee, and he netted a cool $550 million in total in earmarks for his home state, which was ironically the highest total amount of all members of Congress. I'm telling you folks, it really pays to sit on these committees. I mean, we saw it with Biden. And what a coincidence this jackal sits on the Appropriations Committee and just happens to appropriate $500 million of our tax dollars to Alabama. And I don't know if you've ever been to Alabama. People in Alabama are wonderful, nice, sweet. It's a great southern state. But you can tell by the infrastructure everywhere you go, whether it's Mobile or Birmingham. The roads are falling apart. The buildings are falling apart because there's so much corruption and fraud. And this guy's obviously playing right into it. Fauci is all over this report. This is so funny. So Fauci really shows his true colors and level of intelligence here. We already know that Fauci hates dogs. You remember all those poor beagles he killed and did all that cruel testing on them with cocaine and heroin? I mean, just on a side note, I have to tell you folks, my two things that pull at my heartstrings that hurt me or force me to do something are dogs and children with special needs. If I hear as much of a story at a coffee shop about dog abuse, it makes me sick. In movies or TVs, I flip out. I'm sure you all have things that eat away at you as well. So naturally, when that story came out, another example of our taxpayers being used to test and kill dogs, I went berserk. People, Fauci is the most dangerous cult leader type figure in all of history. His entire career has been about unnecessary death and destruction when he's supposed to be there helping us. Just in case you were questioning whether he is evil, as I say, listen to this. According to an NIH grant, National Institute of Health, Fauci, uncovered by the National Pulse, Fauci's agency awarded grants $500,000 in 2021 to inject hormones into male monkeys and make them female. Isn't that sick? Now, all grantees that receive funding from the NIH are required to follow the ethical guidelines put forth in the document that's called Guide for Care and Use of Laboratory Animals. It states that studies that may result in significant alteration to the animal's ability to maintain normal physiology should include descriptions of appropriate human endpoints or provide science-based justification for not using a particular commonly accepted humane endpoint. Now, it's unclear if this lab submitted an official ethical justification. Funny thing is the chief bioethicist, the person in charge of the ethical treatment of animals, is Fauci's wife, Christine Grady, which, by the way, she earns about $250,000 a year, which is more than what the vice president makes. So not only is he systematically killing monkeys, he's making them transgender before they're killed. This guy, I swear, he deserves to have all sorts of tests done on him, caged up in a lab. My hatred for Fauci can't get any deeper. I think he is one of the worst people and will go down with the likes of Hitler and Mao and some of the other people. And I'm not being dramatic. The entire career of this guy is a mix of mass death and destruction, death by HIV, mass death by Ebola, mass death by COVID, all while he sits in his lab and pokes and prods and kills animals? How is this something that's allowed in the United States of America with your tax dollars? You know, I'm from beauty, just a little side note. You know, I'm from the beauty business. Some animal testing needs to happen with certain chemicals. It just does. But we've come so far with science that the need for animal testing is almost gone. I mean, things like L'Oreal's New Skin Project, they actually create a genetically grown skin that matches human skin in every sense, which can be used to test on topical products to test on. And it's really brought us into the modern area of chemicals and testing. By the way, your bottle in the shower with the leaping bunny and your brands that say no animal testing, it's just a fake marketing scam. They can say that because their final product, what's in the bottle, was never tested, but every single ingredient or chemical compound inside that final formula was animal tested. Not trying to burst your bubble, just don't buy into the hype. L'Oreal, surprisingly, has been the most active and advanced company moving away from that animal testing. Back to Fauci, just to put a lid on this. He sent $500,000 of your money to a lab to make monkeys transgender. And I just can't wait to see the ridiculous report that tells us how well the monkeys responded and how being transgendered for our primate partners was amazing. Mark my words, people, I'm telling you right now, this research is going to be used towards propaganda. And I know a lot of you are thinking, Chad, it's only $500,000. And in the scheme of all of this, I agree, it's not a lot. But take a step back and think about your local school district or an actual cancer research lab. How far would that money go? I mean, literally, that could buy an entire school district iPads for the students for e-learning and still have change left over. Anyways, let's move on before the acid in my stomach erodes my esophagus, which I don't know if moving on will help that, but let's give it a shot. Something a little more lighthearted, home decor. I love home decor. I don't know if you love it as much as I do, but if you do, you'll love this. Our favorite agency, the EPA, saving us all from climate change, spent $92 million. Over 10 years to buy, rent, and store office furniture ranging from $28,000 for 5 computer workstations, a $15,000 wood racetrack conference table from Herman Miller, $4,000 Herman Miller chair, one chair, $4,000. And if you break it all down, the EPA spent $6,000 on furniture for every one of the agency's then 15,000 employees. $92 million in furniture. And the funny thing is, a few years later, the EPA moved back into its original building. They didn't even need the furniture. The only part of this that I love is all these ass wipes that the EPA just got hit so hard by the Supreme Court, it's not even funny, which hopefully will cut their budget down so they can't buy $92 million worth of home decor. I mean, although these numbers are substantial, what I really wanted to know is how much of this furniture was sustainable and carbon neutral. So I went on to this Herman Miller furniture, and they do have a huge list of all their environmental accomplishments and their values and traditions. But guess what the problem with that is, guys? They're the same as IKEA, Pottery Barn, West Elm, and all the other furniture makers. It's just greenwashing. They act like using ocean plastic is this big new thing and they're revolutionary. No, the Adidas shoes I'm wearing right now are from ocean plastics. That's a basic baseline of environmental practices. It's not something special. I mean, you have to look at these and say $92 million worth of furniture, and then ask yourself the question, how your retirement's doing. How strong is your 401k right now? How is your Roth IRA? How are your stocks, your crypto? I mean, I'm not sure about you, but my retirement portfolio has taken a dump since Biden's assisted arrival up the White House steps. Don't fall, Dad. Apparently, the pain we feel as Americans right now with our retirements doesn't apply to Congress. They're untouchable. They're smarter, wiser, better, and deserve much more than we do. Here's some facts that'll make you sick. Federal employees now receive 44 paid days off with the addition of Juneteenth, you know, the progressive cause of the day. The sticker price on our federal employees getting 5 times more vacation days than the average American costs us $24 billion a year. And that's just regular days off. That doesn't include things like Mayor Pete and his wife Chastity's paternity leave for 5 years or whatever it was. On top of that, Congress, which by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, Congress is the highest population of millionaires working under one roof, and they receive massive taxpayer pensions. I mean, take Nancy Michael Jackson Pelosi. We calculated here that the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, qualifies for a $106,000 annual taxpayer-funded pension and an additional $50,000 a year in Social Security upon retirement. How much is she worth? Estimated between $43 million at the lowest and $202 million at the highest. Can someone tell me how this woman keeps getting voted in? Are Northern Californians that stupid? This woman has stolen millions using her power as a U.S. representative. Just look at her. Look at her husband, short-selling stocks. I mean, this woman is the epitome of corruption, yet people worship her like a god. Do they realize that she's worth $200 million, but still taking $150,000 a year in pension we are paying for? It's sick. Same with slimeball Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He's worth $35 million. He qualifies for an estimated $100,000 a year pension, and he's also eligible for Social Security for around $50,000 each year. The craziest part, talking about fraud, misuse of funds, did you know no members of Congress have ever been stripped of their federal pension, even if they've been found guilty of a crime and convicted. All members of Congress who serve for 5 years are eligible for a pension at 62 years old or at 50 years old if they serve for 20 years. I mean, it just makes everyone want to work for the government, I guess. I don't know a company that could offer that sort of pension anymore anyways, because they've ruined it for everyone else. And then you look at the People's Republic of California and Newsom, who is a perfect example of the liberal mafia. And when you follow the liberal mafia or you're part of the mob, you always get more. So California actually had an unexpected $7.7 billion state surplus because a lot of high earners and tech companies in the previous year did very, very well. However, they have this $75 billion state surplus, and Joe Biden writes them a check through the American Rescue Plan Act for an additional $26 billion. And then U.S. House Democrats changed the state bailout allocation in the American Rescue Plan Act using unemployment rates versus population. When that happened, California picked up an additional $6.6 billion. Then there's states that aren't in the mob, like Georgia. They ended up with negative $1.5 million after they paid all their bills. And West Virginia, negative $900 million. Federal tax dollars were sent to California, additional $6 billion to New York. And what do they use it for? Newsom used it for stimulus checks, or what I call buy a vote check. California state government racked up another $100 billion in budget surplus, and they still needed a congressional bailout. I mean, have you received your $400 gas check? Thanks for the three tanks of gas while you still F me in the rear. I'd rather see some real change than pay for a vote scam. That's it. Two other of the most incompetent people in Washington, D.C., Xavier Becerra and Rachel Levine, the trans woman, they didn't score very well in their 2021 Inspector General audit. Now, you know that every large department in Washington has to submit their budget and spending reports biannually, twice a year. So, and then the Inspector General audits it. So in 2021, according to the audit of the Inspector General, they came back to Human Health Services with serious questions on $2 billion worth of spending. And on top of that, $16 billion they labeled as should have been put to better use. Reading the report specifically, let me just read it to you guys. Between April 1st and September 31st of 2021, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services accrued over $2 billion in question cost, along with over $6.2 billion in funds that could have been put to better use, according to this report. And it's on pages 79 to 83. Executive agencies are required to provide a semi-annual report to Congress for oversight. In their most recent report, the HHS claims that over a six-month period, they found $2.9 billion of question cost for which no management decision had been made by the end of the reporting period. People are just writing checks left and right. Very well-funded department, and they don't do anything but waste money. Crack pipes. Now, if you're wondering, question costs are actually what the Office of the Inspector General says are an alleged violation of law or contract, a cost without adequate documentation, or a cost with an unnecessary, unreasonable, intended purpose. Additionally, according to the report, the Inspector General found over $6.2 billion in funds that could have been put to better use. Can you believe that? They're losing $18.2 billion in a half year. And on top of that, the EPA found again in the IG report sent $2.1 million to the San Francisco Bay Area to help replace wood-burning stoves with electric stoves on their quest to save the planet. Here's what's ridiculous. At the exact same time the EPA was sending money to the San Francisco Bay Area, Congress, with their $900 billion relief package, included an earmark from Pelosi for funds for wood-burning stove swap-outs. They've got money from Congress and the EPA. And I don't know the exact demographics, but here we are. We're in 2021. They're talking about San Francisco Bay, one of the richest parts of the world. I'm going to venture a guess that most of the wood-burning stoves in that area are purposeful. I mean, I can tell you, I know a lot of people in colder climates, Northern California, Napa, the Redwood area, Lake Trinity, you know, colder climates, and they have beautiful cabins and homes, and they install these very expensive wood-burning stoves. I mean, they're actually really cool, and they look very chic. I just have such a hard time believing that there are all these homes all over San Francisco Bay with wood-burning stoves still in them, and their residents are upset. They need a government to swap it out. I don't think that's true. I think this is just money that's going to be wasted again and go into the pockets of greedy politicians or employees of the federal government. This is the stuff that happens, the double payouts, the $16.2 billion in funds that were misused in these agencies. And it's a direct result of filling the secretary and assistant secretary positions based on people's skin color and genitals and who they sleep with instead of merit. I believe Becerra and Levine will go down as the worst HHS secretaries or team with some of the most ludicrous and irresponsible spending. But again, no responsibility. And they're not just spending on crack pipes here, people. Of course, we've got another funny, hilarious $500,000 scientific study at the Reed College in Portland from no other than Dr. Fauci. Recently, Fauci's National Institutes of Health gave researchers at Reed College in Portland, Oregon, $500,000 to create a token-based economy where pigeons are taught to gamble with slot machines. So basically what they did is the pigeons were given tokens and they could choose whether to spend, save, or gamble them. Now, while researchers claim the study helped them understand behavioral economics, Fauci didn't explain how pigeons' gambling habits relate to humans' gambling habits if that's all they care about. And what does he say? He says, well, the study's more focused on laboratory models rather than practical applications. I can't even say more about that one. Why is this guy so obsessed with animal experiments? And they keep getting weirder. Here's another amazing question I have to ask. Did you know that an African elephant can poop 16 pounds per day? There's a study that was funded by the federal government called Hydrodynamics of Defecation. And what they did was they measured the size, shape, and other measurements of feces from various mammals. It was funded through Georgia Tech's President's Undergraduate Research Awards, which has money from $556,000 from the National Science Foundation. So the National Science Foundation gives $500,000 to this Tech President's Undergraduate Research Award fund, and then they fund the hydrodynamics of defecation. The article goes on to say the group of researchers at Georgia Institute of Technology and University of Alabama, which documented the bowel movements of the beasts and included four videos of the animals' private moments, thought it was important to, quote, understand the physics of which feces are discharged. Can someone tell me the connection here? I mean, did the National Science Foundation honestly think this was a good use of $500,000? I mean, we have actual scientific things, people, that we need to focus on. Stop spending the money on crazy things when we need to learn about monkeys being transgender and how our anus can be scanned and so much more. Don't waste it on feces. How about the science of various substances found in nature that can aid in bettering the health of humans? Just a guess. And by the way, this has got to be a joke. I can just see it now. A group of kids off campus in their apartment, smoking tons of weed, going, I bet we could get them to fund a study on shit. And they do it and they get it. And that's as crazy as it is. That's what America is becoming. Honestly, we can ask for money for the craziest things without question. And it gets worse. But you get my point here. I just want to share just a couple more top line items without getting into detail. I know we're running out of time here. Again, Fauci gave $3 million to a study to learn if people preferred recycled, bottled, or tap water. Federal designers, interior designers, made $120 million last year. $120 million. And some of them are on payroll. We have taxpayer-paid interior designers in the federal government. You guys remember Shaka Fatah? Say that 10 times fast. Shaka Fatah. He was a congressman convicted of fraud, all sorts of other stuff while he was in Congress. Well, guess what? He went to jail. I think he's out of jail now, but he went to jail and he's still receiving his pension. And by the time he dies, roughly, it'll have cost us the tune of about $1 million. I mean, where could that go? Another bizarre National Science Foundation awarded Harvard a grant of $50 million. And from the $50 million grant, Harvard, which by the way, they received $60 million in 2021 from private donors. We still gave them an additional $50 million from our federal government. And from that, they funded a study on how long lizards could hang on to trees when being blown with leaf blowers. And on top of that, the National Science Foundation spent $1.3 million to study how shrimp walk on treadmills. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, are you not as shocked as I am? Government money management is a joke, but I never in my life thought it could be this bad. But we didn't have this level of transparency, and all sorts of this stuff has come out since. Now, back in the day, this senator, William Proxmire from Wisconsin, he was a Democrat. He created this program or whatever, his own deal, called the Golden Fleece Awards. I'm sure some of you remember. And anytime he witnessed, not in reports, not whatever, but anytime he witnessed things in Senate that were outrageous spending, just ridiculous, he would hand them a Golden Fleece Award and it would get into the press. He actually ended up giving 168 Golden Fleece Awards between 1975 and 1988. So according to this report with American Transparency, he gave the first award to the National Science Foundation, and they're still chucking. Remember, this was a long time ago, for spending $84,000 on a study on love. And his comment was, "I believe that 200 million other Americans want to leave some things in life a mystery. And right on top of the things we don't want to know is why a man falls in love with a woman and vice versa." He doled out awards to the Federal Aviation Administration for spending $60,000 on a study of the physical measurements of 432 flight attendants, which paid particular attention to the length of their buttocks and how their knees were arranged when they were seated. See, this stuff has been going on forever. More awards went to the National Institute on Drug Abuse for spending $120,000 studying some objective evidence concerning marijuana's effect on sexual arousal for male pot smokers. And this was the late 70s and throughout the 80s, you know. Those numbers equivocate to millions now. Let me tell you something. There isn't enough golden fleece in the world to grant these awards today. You know, now that I think about it, I wonder if Golden Fleece Awards just died with Senator Proxmire, or if he gave up or something else occurred. I got to look into that and see, because what a genius thing. I don't know why it wouldn't continue. But the problem with it is that, yes, he embarrassed people. And yes, it got into the press, which equaled, you know, public disapproval to the recipients of these awards and the departments. However, they didn't change because it's too easy to spend monopoly money. Until actual policy is made and we become included through voting on these decisions, nothing will stop and your dollars will continue to be wasted. And they want to raise taxes all the time. Why? If they cut out everything that's in this report, they'd be able to lower taxes and give us all tax refunds. Let me just leave you with this. My very first real job involved managing people. You know, my big boy job. I had the best boss, and he gave me autonomy to run things, you know, in my area, had a territory the way they needed to be run. But with this responsibility, you know, had a pretty large budget that I had to manage. I mean, anything you could imagine, events, bonuses, additional resources like computers and such, headcount hiring. It was a huge responsibility for me at the time. I used to call him before I made any decisions, financial or involving the budget. And I think at the end of the quarter, I was doing reconciliation or something. I called him and I just said, "I don't think I can do this budget thing. I don't know how to do it. I'm always stressed about it. I mean, how can I decide, boss, if I'm overspending or not putting enough in to grow the region? How do I know?" I will never forget what he said to me. He said, "Chad, there's no way to know how. The only way you will manage the budget correctly is if you treat the money as your own." He went on to tell me, "This is your bank account. You need to spend to survive. You need to spend some to make some. And you need some for rewards." Now, truth be told, I still overspent a bit, but in all fairness, that's how I manage my own money also. Maybe then, not now. No, but I'm kidding. Point being, why don't we have the same expectation of our elected officials? How can things like this happen? Why are we not involved? Why are we not voting? And everything is done while they pull the wool over our eyes. So we don't know until it's too late. People don't know, so they keep voting for the same people like Nancy Pelosi, when her entire region should be told about her wealth and her taking pension that they're paying for. This is 100% your money. However, your money has been used to cause this inflation. Your money is being used to create this supply chain mess. Your money is being used to spike the gas prices. Your money is being used against you, not for you. More importantly, your money isn't even used to help a fellow American who needs it most. I mean, as much of a waste as Social Security has been as a program, I would rather see these billions of dollars dumped there. Just an extreme example. At least that way, it remains in the U.S. and helps retirees, maybe. But I think you get what I'm trying to say. How did we get to this point? And the only reasonable explanation is greed. Look at all these outrageous grants and programs and misuses of funds. They all come from political greed. You see, I would say 85 to 95% of the ridiculous recipients of tax dollars have some sort of kickback or something special for the congressmen and women who snuck it in, who earmarked it. There's no other explanation, because even the biggest idiot from the biggest idiot village would know not to spend money in a time with 40-year record inflation on anal scans, unless there was something in it for them. We have to take our power back, people. And the only way to do that, which I've talked about a million times, is a convention of states. And at this point, after reading this report, I am convinced that if we don't have a convention of states in this lifetime, my lifetime, the United States as we know it and as we've known it will be gone. Our founding fathers knew the federal government would be too big to manage eventually. So they wrote Article 5 in the Constitution, allowing states to convene and put sanctions, rules, and regulations and additional controls over the federal government. Our three biggest threats to our country right now, and if people don't agree, then they've got major problems. But our three biggest threats right now are irresponsible spending and money management. Print, 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 print. Lifetime self-serving politicians that are held to zero accountability, and massive federal overreach controlling localities, communities, and states with dollars. And for those of us calling for a convention of states through the Convention of States action, only want to address three things in the convention. We want to impose term limits on Congress. They cannot be there all the time. We want to cap spending and require certain approvals so money isn't misused and misdirected. And lastly, we need to redefine the jurisdiction of the federal government. They are in our lives, communities, states, counties, school districts, way too much. It's why things have just gone awry. It truly is the only way, a convention of states. And Republicans and Democrats alike are signing these convention petitions and taking it to their state capitals like crazy. This is the true nonpartisan action happening on the ground, unlike anything Congress claims. And crazy enough, we are very close to getting as many states as we need to call a convention, and it's getting exciting. And the good news is, just the movement itself, through the Convention of States action, and the feathers they're ruffling with the tremendous support from celebrities and politicians alike, it's already starting to put light pressure on Congress. Not nearly enough, but some. However, it's not over until the last gay conservative sings, but I do see the light at the end of the tunnel. I would highly suggest you check out Convention of States Action. And although I'm a volunteer and a writer for the organization, this is not a sponsored or promoted post. I have just come to the realization that since Biden took office, this is the only way we can get our country back on track. There's nothing included morally, like abortion, trans rights, or race, or anything racially focused. No, just three things. Pull the federal government back, impose term limits on Congress, and regulate federal tax dollar spending as a people. I'm going to leave it at that, folks. I hope I have fired you up about where your taxpayer dollars are going. And if you take anything away from today's episode, please remember this. Your anus has 35 to 37 unique creases in it. This is Chad Law reminding you of what Reagan once said. No arsenal or weapon in the arsenal of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. Let's hope that remains true for the foreseeable future. God bless you, President Reagan, and may God save America.
You You just listened to the Last Gay Conservative podcast, hosted by Chad Law. Please visit us at lastgayconservative.com for this episode and others. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you listen. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and share. Find us on social at Last Gay Conservative. We proudly support the following causes: the Convention of States Action, the National Rifle Association, the Heritage Foundation, and Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. The Last Gay Conservative is a production of Bend Right Media. All rights reserved, 2022.